let me in. Shiba, shiba. I want to be closer to you. Shiba, shiba. Open up your soul. Shiba, shiba. Let me find that part of you, the part that nobody ever knew.
Let me touch your.
Hello and welcome to Let Me Touch Your Mind, the show will try to get you to be something, do something, experience something, enjoy something. There are so many cool and fun and wacky things to be enjoyed in and around the Bay Area that I would be remiss to not tell you about at least a fraction of them. One of those things that's about to happen is called Trash Bash. Here to talk about it, I'd like to welcome Kathy Huber. Welcome.
Thank you, Marilyn. So nice to talk with you.
Nice to talk with you. Tell me a little bit, first of all, what is Painted Bins?
Sure. So Painted Bins actually is a program that provides environmental education, visual arts, and public speaking to empower youth to be environmental stewards. So we're working with schools, mostly in Marin County right now, mm-hmm. but we work with elementary and middle school children mm-hmm. to help them understand about the importance of keeping waste from the landfill. And then they draw these super cool posters that are very, very impactful, not only with color, but with messages that... Can I share one of these posters?
I would love that. Yes.
Okay, so one of my favorites was drawn by an elementary school student, mm-hmm. and it has a turtle swimming in the sea with plastic bottles, Coca-Cola cans, and the message on this poster is, it only takes 1 second of your life to save an animal's entire life. So it's all about helping these students share their concern and passion for taking care of the environment through sorting their waste.
And what kind of response do you get from the kids when you do this?
It's absolutely amazing. We've had almost 2,600 students create posters over the last, 3.5 years. And the kids they can work, first of all, in teams of two or three, because the posters are 18 by 24 inches, which is big for a little third grader to fill out the entire space. And the kids come up with the most amazing messages. That's how they start. What do I want to say on my poster to help somebody understand how to sort their waste? So we see a lot of Help Our Earth, compost to save trees, compost to keep the oceans clean, compost and recycle to keep the ocean clean. Mm-hmm. And all of the kids that participate in our program are also invited to speak at local art shows that we have, where we actually display all of the posters once they've been created. And it is amazing how many kids come and talk about why it's important to sort waste. What should you put in the compost bin? What goes in the recycling bin to help keep our earth clean? And a lot of people don't realize that, but these kids do, that when food scraps go into the landfill, they release methane gas that actually traps heat in the atmosphere and leads to global warming. So these kids are the next generation. It is their earth. So they're really passionate about wanting to get involved and encourage not only their family, their peers, but the public about the importance of keeping waste from the landfill.
And I think that's an important thing. When I was a kid, there was a drive to help children learn about taking care of the earth. And when you get them when they're young, it lasts a lifetime.
That's really true. And the other thing that I didn't realize when I started this program in 2022 mm-hmm. is that when children learn material such as recycling and composting and sorting waste, and they interpret that through art, mm-hmm. they retain it longer. So they're thinking about it, and it's really the opportunity to translate what they learn through art to help other people change their behavior around sorting waste. So I think that's important too. And the art, I have to tell you, is just amazing what these kids come up with. So vibrant and bright and so many important messages on them.
All right. Now tell me about Trash Bash. What is that?
Yeah, so that is our upcoming flagship fundraiser. It's a student-led fundraiser. It'll be held this Thursday, April 23rd, from 5:30 to 8:30 at the Mill Valley Community Center. Mm-hmm. And it's all about the students. So the first part, the reception, we will have interactive learning stations where the posters have been separated by theme, such as I mentioned, save the ocean, save the earth, save the animals. And we will have students that'll be helping staff those stations and sharing their knowledge with adults and guests who are passing through with their eco passports. Mm-hmm. We also have student speakers who are talking about their experience with painted bins. We'll have student created videos about composting and why this was that video actually that I'm just talking about was created by a group of high school students that we work with. So we also work with not only elementary and middle school students, but high school students. And they, one of the students from the high school we work with at Tarlinda High School, it's the Marin School of Environmental Leadership. Mm-hmm. And one of the students we've worked with is actually the MC. So we're calling him our master of composting. So it's all about learning from the students. Again, I keep going back to this important point of why we should keep waste from the landfill through proper sorting, putting things in the compost bin and the recycling bin. It's also a three-course dinner, so it'll be a wonderful community event with children of all ages participating. It's very much a family event, and we still have a few tickets available. They can be found on our website, which that address is www.painted bins.org.
That sounds
amazing. I think that's under support our work under the navigation bar for Trash Bash, Trash Bash 2026.
Now tell me.
You love the name?
I do love the name. How is, I forget, did you say that you've done this before or is this the first time?
This is our second time. We're doing it every other year, so we haven't done it for 2 years, but it's the first time we're doing the Stewardship in Action reception with the interactive learning stations. And I think we have 30 kids, 30 elementary school students who are so excited to not only share their posters, but share why they think it's important to sort waste and how that helps save the animals and things such as that nature.
What do you think is the thing that makes the kids the most aware of the environment? What things seem to resonate with them?
That's a really interesting question because, you know, what we've been told, you know, by the kids is, you know, children love art to mm-hmm. begin with, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So being able to think about a simple message that they convey through art, I think is really meaningful to a child because they learn about sorting sometimes at school and through our messages. You know, sometimes they have green teams at school, but when they learn about how to properly sort your waste and they're thinking about what this poster should look like, it's, you know, I think this sounds kind of silly, but almost like a light bulb goes on. Mm-hmm. Wow, I can share this information and help other people. Because these kids are really passionate about taking care of the earth. And when we also invite them to speak at our events, our art shows, and some of these students at Trash Bash, they are so happy to be able to share their message. And we hear from parents that their behavior changes. So kids are picking up trash that they might see out in public or at school. They're encouraging their peers and helping them understand how to sort waste. So I think we're giving students a voice, mm-hmm. and that's why they want to share that. So they're not just being told what to do. They're being given the voice to share their information with others. And that's really empowering to students. And, you know, to be able to see a little third grader stand up in front of 150 people, mm-hmm. stand up on a stage and share why it's important to keep food scraps in the compost bin and not in the trash bin, it's just... it's heartwarming. I mean, I can't even, you know, come to some of our events. We have an art show right now going on over at the Mill Valley Community Center, and there's 70 posters
wow.
made by students in Mill Valley. And those posters, from those posters, an independent jury will be selecting the 10 that will go on bins throughout Mill Valley.
Oh.
And we'll be announcing those student artists at the Earth Day event in Mill Valley on Sunday. But I really think it's the way we're giving back to your question about students and why they're excited about being involved. I think it's because we're giving them a voice. Mm-hmm. You know, they have the stage to share both through their art and through literally their voice.
So the Trash Bash 2026 event is happening this Thursday, April 23rd, and that's from 5:30 to 8:30, and that's at the Mill Valley Community Center. So what other things will be happening at the Trash Bash?
Okay. So, yes, I mentioned a little bit about this interactive reception where there will be six different learning stations. One will be Save the Animals, so how to sort in your waste, mm-hmm. help keep animals safe so that when you know, for example, if you put food scraps into the compost bin and it leaks greenhouse gases, that's not good for the environment. We'll also have a station on Save the Ocean. Well, I mentioned that. Save the Ocean, Save the Earth, and Save the Animals, mm-hmm. Compost to Grow Trees. And the other really cool thing is we will have a promise tree so that our guests can actually make pledges. So they've learned all this information about, you know, why I should sort my waste and put things into the right bin, you know, keep things out of the trash bin. But how do I mentally reinforce that? Well, what better way to do it than to make a pledge on our promise tree? So the pledge could be as simple as, I'm going to make a list every time I go to the grocery store and only buy what I need. Mm. Or I'm not going to order from Amazon so that I don't have package waste. I'm going to shop locally. Mm. And so that'll be the first part. But then we'll start that's the interactive part. And then, as I mentioned, it's the seated dinner, which starts with our MC, who is, as I mentioned, a student in the Marin School of Environmental Leadership. He will lead us through a program, and I'll give you there's a couple of student speakers in a video, but I will give you a little hint, mm-hmm. because this is the cutest thing ever. We have two fourth graders singing a song they wrote about composting.
Aww.
So it's called the Composting Song, and they're going to sing it live, again, to help people understand why I should put my food scraps in the compost bin and protect the earth by keeping it from the landfill. And that is good. That's, you're the first person I've told about that.
Aww,
so
I'm honored.
it's kind of a surprise, but it's the cutest thing ever, you know.
Okay.
What's that?
I was going to say, one more time for our listening audience, when, what time, and where for Trash Bash 2026?
Yes. So Trash Bash 2026 will be held from 5:30 to 8:30 at the Mill Valley Community Center, 180 Camino Alto in Mill Valley. That's this Thursday, and tickets can be purchased on our website at www.painted bins.org. And we welcome your listeners to come, you as well, Marilyn, to come and support these youth who are sharing their passion for the environment and hopefully encouraging other students as well to be involved and to be change makers in their communities.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, with that, I want to thank you so much, Kathy Huber, for being on the show today.
Thank you, Marilyn, and thank you to all your KPOO listeners.
Excellent, excellent. Okay, people of Earth, this is your opportunity. Go check out Trash Bash 2026 and do something fun and wonderful for yourself.
Today is the day that all us cats must surely do our bit. We've got tea to do our share, so Uncle Sam can hit. Save up all your pots and pans. Save up every little thing you can. Don't give it away now, now. Get some cash for your trash. You know what I'm talking about. Save up all your old newspapers. Save and pile them like a high skyscraper. Don't give it away now, honey. Get some cash for your trash. Oh, well. Up all your pots and pans, save every little thing you can. Don't give it away, nah, nah, nah. Get some cash for your trash. Save up all your old newspaper, save it like a high skyscraper. Don't give it away, nah, nah, nah. Get some cash for your trash. In between, we'll do some loving, wild handsome turtle doving. Will you listen to me, honey? Get plenty of food and money. Save up all your iron and tin, but when you gonna turn it in? Don't give it away, nah, nah, nah. Get some cash for your trash. Oh well, now. Get some cash, get some cash, get some cash for your trash.
You're listening to 89.5 FM KPOO, San Francisco. That was Memphis Slim, Mother Earth from the Chess Blues box set, and Nell Carter and Cash for Your Trash from Ain't Misbehavin'. But I hope you misbehave a little bit, because there's a concert series that's about to happen in Golden Gate Park. It might even be happening even as we speak, although it's raining. But here to talk about the spring and summer concert series from the Golden Gate Park Band, I'd like to welcome Mark Nemoyten. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being on the show today. So tell our listening audience a little bit about the Golden Gate Park Band.
The Golden Gate Park Band is a 30-piece concert band, a wind and percussion instruments, and all professional group. And we've been playing in the park since 1882.
Wow.
not these specific musicians, but the institution goes back that far.
Mm-hmm.
And we start our season this coming Sunday on the 26th. And we go through every Sunday. We do a free concert every Sunday at 1 p.m., except for May 17th, which is Beta Breakers. That's the only exception.
Okay.
And then we also play 4th of July and Labor Day. And all our concerts start at 1 p.m. And they go about 90 minutes, around 90 minutes. And they're all different.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all free.
Very nice. So tell me, do the different days have themes, or is it just what everyone wants to play that day?
Well, we have a music director, Dr. Herman Gonzalez, and he programs the concerts. But every concert is different. Every concert has a different theme.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are just the band playing. And all our, by the way, all our concerts, our whole season is listed on our website, which is easy to find. It's Golden Gate Park Band, all one word. .org, or you can go to parkband.org, and that should get you there too. But some of the programs are just the band playing, and some are with partner organizations. And this is a tradition that goes back, we don't even know how far, because we don't have records going back to the beginning of the band, but we know at least 75, 80 years. So, for example, this month, we do the second concert of the year, which will be May 3rd, will be in conjunction with the, my pronunciation of Polish is not very good, but Lozanzi Polish Folk Ensemble. So it's a celebration of Polish culture. So we'll play some Polish music by Polish composers like Chopin and some less well-known ones, and they will perform, it's a folk dance troupe that wears these incredible costumes, and they'll be dancing and singing, and they join us, and we have a lot of concerts like that. We have a Armenian one a few weeks later. There's an Irish day, there's a Mexican day where we have this, all of them have really amazing performers, music. And this is a part of the history of the Park Band, is that it's for different cultures to share their music, their unique things with the rest of San Francisco. And that's what the band has always been about. So we do a special Pride concert in June. We're going to have some new performers for that. We do a Juneteenth concert also. We're going to have a vocal group from the Lorraine Hansberry Theater join us. So it's a lot. We have children's programs. We do an all Disney program once a year, which is a big, always well attended. And of course, the big 4th of July. So yeah, it's a lot of different things. So the best thing is to go to our website and look at the schedule. But again, reminding people it's free. We think it's unfortunately the best kept secret in San Francisco of free music. If you know about it, you know. If you don't, you do now.
Right. Well, I'm actually looking at your website now, and I see you're going to have German music, Irish music, music from Mexico and Spain, and you've got it, the Ukraine. You've got it all over the place. That's pretty amazing.
Yes. Yes.
So tell me about this, your opening concert, which is happening April 26th. It just says, the soul of the city since 1882. So what will we hear for that first one out of the gate?
Yeah. Hermann always programs sort of a sampler for this first program, that things that some of them, which may appear later in the year, or that have to do with different themes. So, he loves Gershwin, so we're going to start with Strike Up the Band by Gershwin, and we're going to an arrangement of that, an arrangement of An American in Paris. We do some kind of late 20th century concert band music written just for concert bands, variations on the theme of Robert Schumann by Robert Jaeger. We're going to do a suite of Mexican tunes. The famous, any band nerds in the audience would recognize the second suite in F by Gustav Holst, a very famous piece. We're going to do a couple of Sousa marches. We always do something from a musical. We're going to do a medley from Around the World in 80 Days.
Okay.
Some kids' music, Teddy Bear's Picnic, Bugler's Holiday, which I get to play because I'm one of the trumpet players. And, of course, I left my heart in San Francisco, so it's quite a varied program.
Very nice, very nice. Now, does the band ever play anywhere besides Golden Gate Park?
Very seldom, but this year, and I don't have the dates in front of me. We're going to send out some, there are going to be 4 days, I believe they're Saturdays or Sundays. I wasn't prepared for this. We're going to send out little quartets from the band to play at Union Square.
Oh, wow.
But generally, we unless somebody invites us, you know, every once in a while we'll get invited for a special event. They'll invite the band to come and play. And we never know when that's going to happen. But it's 24 concerts a year with the full band. It's quite a bit. It's quite a bit of music to prepare. And we're all professional musicians. You can read about us, the conductor and all the individual musicians, actually online on our website.
And
so they're able to prepare a 90-minute concert with an hour of rehearsal every week.
That's crazy.
we get to look at the music ahead of time now, but. But we don't get to play it together until the day of the concert. It takes a certain level of musicianship to be able to do that.
Sure. Yeah. Was there a time when you didn't even get to look at the music in advance? Because that sounds nuts to me.
Yeah. When I first started in the band, concerts, I was a substitute many years ago. I think I'm thinking it's like 45 years ago. I was just finishing my last semester at San Francisco State. It was one of the first professional jobs I got in San Francisco. They needed somebody to fill in at the last minute. And I showed up and the music was in a folder on my stand. I had no chance to look at it ahead of time. We did a really fast rehearsal. And that's the way the band, and then I think it's an hour rehearsal. We get an hour break, like a lunch break, and then we do the concert. And, it was scary the first time I did it. It was frightening, but it was really, I said, okay, this is what you have to be able to do. And I guess I was okay because they called me back. So
very good. And so you've been in now how many years?
Well,
you personally?
I started as most, the way it used to work is, you'd start as a substitute because they did so many concerts back then in this was the early 80s.
Mm-hmm.
They went year round. The band went year round. They did, I don't know, something like 48 concerts a year or 50. And, because we did Sundays plus, Labor Day and 4th of July. And I don't know if there were any other holidays done. So at that time you could, as a substitute, you could be called anytime, any Sunday. And then in 90, by the time it got into the 90s, they had cut it back to about half the year. And I was hired to for the position I'm in now in 1996. So this will be my 30th year.
Oh, nice. Nice, nice, nice.
Yeah.
So once again, for our listening audience, when, what time, and where for the Golden Gate Park Band?
We play on Sundays, and this coming Sunday, the 26th, will be our first concert of the season. We play from 1 o'clock to about 2:30. It is free. There's plenty of seating and benches, and it's at the it's called this officially the Spreckles Temple of Music. It's the big band shell that's at the end of the music concourse between the Academy of Sciences and the DeYoung Museum. It's right next to the Japanese Tea Garden, if you know San Francisco. If you know Golden Gate Park, it's pretty easy to find. And yeah, it's a beautiful spot. You never know what the weather's going
to
be like.
I was going to
prepare.
Ask.
It could be sunny. It could be cloudy. It's San Francisco. But, you know, you can bring a picnic lunch and you can bring the whole family. And it's a lot of fun.
Do you even play in the rain?
If it's raining on the audience, if we know it's going to be raining on the audience, we will generally... we'll generally have to cancel the concert.
Okay.
Yeah, it's only happened. I think we didn't get a single rain out last year.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, we've been lucky the last few years. Actually, if your listeners go on our website, you can sign up for our mailing list, and then if we know we're going to have to, well, we'll send out an email about the upcoming each concert each week with the program, and then. You know, any other information about the band. And also we'll send out an email in the morning if we have to cancel a concert. But
understood.
So we've been lucky the
understood.
Last few years.
So that's every Sunday from now until when?
The September 27th, the last Sunday in September. That one's going to be interesting. It's a new thing for us. There's going to be an early Oktoberfest, a German day, in the park that day, where there'll be lots of other groups performing, and we're just sort of plugged into our regular slot during that. But they're also going to have German food and, you know, German music and other groups playing throughout the day, I think starting at 11 in the morning. So it'll go all day. So we're just going to be one of the groups that day. It'll be fun. It's the first time we've done that.
Okay. And one more time for our listening audience, what is the website so they can see what's playing that day?
GoldenGateParkBand.org or parkband.org.
Excellent. Well, Mark Nmoyten, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you for having me, and I hope to see some of your listeners there.
I think you will.
All right.
All right, people of Earth, this is your opportunity. Free music in the park. It's always lovely. The people are lovely, and you will enjoy it. And how will you know that you're going to enjoy it? Because I'm about to play a little ditty that the Golden Gate Park Band did back in a year ago. This is Strike Up the Band.
Thank you.
That's Dr. Bizzard's original Savannah Band, and I'll play the fool for you from their very first album, simply called Dr. Bizzard's Original Savannah Band. You're listening to 89.5 FM KPOO San Francisco. You're so lucky. I have a poster in front of me with a guy with hearty-shaped underwear and a unicorn head. I love it, love it, love it. It's called Good, Better, Best, Bested. Here to talk about it, I'd like to welcome the actor Ade Lewis and the director Patricia Miller. Hello to the both of you.
Hi, hey, Marilyn.
What's up?
So I want to start with you, Ade. How long have you been acting?
Well, I started off with improv.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see, acting is pretty new to me. Even if I started out acting as different characters, like when I was about starting from 5 years old, growing up, I was just being silly when I was acting with my older brother, because he really liked watching the same cartoon shows that I enjoy, even the comedy shows, the sitcoms.
Mm-hmm. So you started when you were five acting?
Oh, yeah. Well, I wasn't necessarily acting in a show. I was just acting out of the characters when I'm at home or at a park. And I just end up being silly or whatever. And so did my older brother.
So when did you actually do acting in a show?
When I do acting in a show? Well, I started out by being in a choir.
Okay.
Because I really like to sing.
Mm-hmm.
And now what I realize is that after seeing those sitcoms and comedy shows and watching all those music videos, that will be part of my career, is being a rap artist and actor at the same time.
Oh, very good. Very good. So do you remember the first show you were in?
Well, in high school, I was part of a BSA, which is short for Brotherhood Sisterhood Assembly.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. And then you auditioned for Good, Better, Best, Bested?
Well, first I auditioned for Crucible, and I didn't get a part. But yeah, the first time being in a play, it's Good, Better, Best, Bested.
Nice, nice. And you are the director, Patricia Miller. Tell us a little bit about your journey to theater.
My journey to theater started in England. Ooh. And I was professional in England as an actor and as a director. And then I got burned out and I came to San Francisco and discovered KPOO right down the road from my new house. And then I discovered City College. And I actually ditched theater for quite a while. I retrained at City College, which a lot of people do, in cinema, and worked in the film industry, and then went back to theater. And I've been working in theater professionally now for almost 40 years.
Wow.
And I've been teaching at City for 11.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the place that I set my cap at. That's where I wanted to be. I've been teaching and directing all over the place, in London and Edinburgh, the festivals, Eastern Europe, Australia, and, you know, Northern California. But I always wanted to work at this place that had sort of given me a refreshment when I retrained there. And that's the kind of folks that I meet that train at City College.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
Now, before we went on the air, you were talking about this program called ARC. What is that?
That's specific to Ade.
Ade, what is ARC?
It's sort of a program where some people go and be with their staffs, and they take the clients to places in San Francisco for like an hour or two, and then when it was time for some people to go, their vans appear outside in the front, and they just going home. Well, what happened is, like, people need to, like, be at the ARC first thing in the morning at 8 or 9.
Mm-hmm.
At 9 o'clock is when the doors open. So they go in, meet their staffs, and they find out what kind of stuff to do inside or outside the ARC. And when the day is done at 2 o'clock, their vans appear, and some of us have independence.
Okay. Very nice. Very nice. So ARC is a program for activities?
People with disabilities.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That are interested in the arts.
Very good. Very good.
And so Ade is one of our star pupils because he comes from the ARC and continues to work there. And then he joined the classes at City College alongside all the other folks that, you know, take classes and learn music and arts and graphics and film and theater at City College.
Okay. Now, so the show is called Good, Better, Best, Bested. What is the show about? Either of you can answer the question.
Oh, it's about people having a good time in Vegas. People are having a blast, but sometimes things could be like a real travesty.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to expand on that?
Yeah, it's a satire about American folks and how we like to have a good time and party and have celebrate special events. And then what happens in the plot of this play is there's an unspecified disaster across the world. And the question is, how much are we prepared to put down our, you know, bachelorette party to pay attention to global crisis? And it was written in 2018 by Jonathan Spector. Exactly, before the pandemic and before our current situation.
Mm-hmm.
And Jonathan Spector, since he wrote this play, won the Tony last year, which is, you know, as you know, the biggest award in the United States, mm-hmm. for a different play. So this is one of his younger plays, and he gave us permission to do it because it's a great play for young people to see and also be in.
Okay.
And it's unfortunately very timely.
Mm. So, Ade, who do you play in Good, Better, Best, Bested?
Well, my role as an actor in the play, the role I have is being a fanny pack tourist.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm fanny pack tourist number two. And my friend Lucy is fanny pack tourist number one.
Mm-hmm. And you don't get any – is that how you're referred to throughout the whole play, is the fanny pack tourist?
Yeah, yeah, pretty much.
I love it.
Yeah,
I love it.
This play was written for seven actors to play 30 roles, but I'm lucky enough to have 30 people. And as Ade's pretty new to performing, as has been in the past, you know, people just getting started get the smaller parts, mm-hmm. 1 year, and then they build themselves up. And as mm-hmm. we're in a really big venue, mm-hmm. you know, the folks that are playing the leads, I've got a lot of experience. Two of them are now professional. And they came out of the program. They came out of the theater arts training program.
And who are they?
So that's Sol Key and Richie Tavake, mm-hmm. who's a voiceover actor, who actually set up this interview. So
shouts out to him.
And, you know, sometimes in City College we also have folks that are not necessarily training and taking classes. That's sort of like more of the past pattern. We're really moving more towards specifically serving people are taking classes and students, but mm-hmm. people are everything from 17 to 75 in the theater class.
Nice.
We got like a one room classroom in the basement. We used to have five shows a year. We're down to one, mm-hmm. but in 2 years' time, there's going to be a new venue that's built on site at mm-hmm. Ocean Campus.
Okay.
So everyone's really excited about that. The mayor came out to speak about it, and music department's been driving that. So we're lucky that theater will be included.
Okay.
Yeah.
So is this play a comedy, a dramedy, a tragedy? How do you characterize it?
It would somehow be like a comedy play.
Okay. I like the somehow portion of it. So does it make you laugh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it sure does because of how wild it's going to be.
So what's some of the wild? Are you allowed to talk about the wild aspects of it?
Oh, yeah. I bet the wild part that might be hilarious for everyone mm-hmm. is that how people do trash talk at the bar.
Oh, I do like me some trash talk. What's one of the lines that you find particularly funny that doesn't have any swearing in it?
Oh, well.
There's some swearing in it.
Yeah, of course.
Well, we're on radio.
I know.
Because the play might be R-rated.
Mm-hmm.
I could imagine, like, of how much swearing there is.
Okay. Well, is there...
It's got the what you think of a Vegas situation. It's got like the bachelorettes that mm-hmm. are gone wrong and drank too much. It's got the couples that are arguing. It's also got the people that live there, work there, mm-hmm. have to take care of everybody, everything from cocktail waitresses to prostitutes,
mm-hmm.
and men dressed in Centurion outfits having to serve drinks even though they'd really rather be doing something else. And in the end, you know, I'm not going to give you the end, but it, like I said, something bad happened in the rest of the world, and you know, it's got a political small p political vibe at the end of it. So it goes pretty punk rock at the end.
I like it. It kind of sounds like whatever doesn't go on in Vegas stays out of Vegas a little bit.
It is.
I don't really know. I just know putting the soundtrack together has been really a lot of fun.
Ooh, and there's music?
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of music in it. A lot of music.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And it's at the Taub Atrium, which is an exciting space to use because that was developed for the opera, which is a very appropriate space, very classical, looks like a Greek temple.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're bringing the fanny packs and the punk rock and the rave and the bad bachelorettes into this very clean space, and we're sort of messing it up a little bit.
I love it. I love it. So the Taub Atrium Theater, that's in the War Memorial Building, which is at 401 Van Ness. And I've been there. It's quite grand.
Yes.
So the
Herbst is in the ground floor. We're on the top floor, and you know, the opera did develop it for their work, and we're really grateful to be able to use that space.
Okay. And when is the show happening?
2 days, the 25th and 26th. And plus the 26th is my birthday.
Happy birthday in advance.
How old are you going to be?
26.
Whoa.
I love
amazing.
It. Yay.
So it's got two matinees. The Saturday and the Sunday are at 2.
Mm-hmm.
The Sunday's the evening show as well. Sorry, the Saturday's the evening show as well.
Yeah, April 25th, 2 and 7:30, April 26th, 2 p.m. How do people go about getting tickets?
There's a website. It's Eventbrite. It's bit.ly, bit.ly/CCSF, _theater26.
Okay.
And that's, or you could go to theaterarts@citycollege.org, but it's not so easy to get a hold of there. So it's on Eventbrite under City College Theater Arts, Good, Better, Best, Bested.
All right.
A little bit like your last guest that you had today.
Mm-hmm.
These guys have been rehearsing, but they'll only have 4 hours in the theater before the public comes.
Oh,
so they're really training themselves like professional touring actors, even though for some folks, like a day, it's their first time. For other folks, it's maybe their fourth time on stage.
Okay.
But they're really, really great. I mean, Michael Gene Sullivan from the Mime Troupe came to see Crucible last year.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you've got to come and see this group. He really thought highly of us.
Excellent, excellent.
Tim Robbins, too, from Hollywood, tweeted us about 4 years ago and said, run, don't walk. So, you know, you're getting some big ups from some great artists.
Excellent. Well, Good, Better, Bested is happening April 25th and April 26th. Do you guys want to give any shout-outs to anyone?
I want to shout out to the cast. I want to shout out to the stagecraft class.
Okay.
And some of the other, Jeff Kelly, Matt Steins, Brian Livingston, and our dean and our chair, because they've supported us. So we're very excited to work with those guys. But we're all working with no money, no time, but we're getting it done for the people.
All right. And how about you, Ade? Any shout-outs?
Oh, yeah. There definitely is going to be some shout-outs.
Go ahead.
Like, everybody come see the play that has something to do with Vegas. I'm pretty sure that this play will bring reality to you to what it will be like whenever you go to Vegas.
And thanks to Richie for putting this together. Richie Tavake.
All right. Well, Julia and Ade, I want to thank you both for being on the show today.
Thank you very much, Marilyn. I'm Patricia.
Oh, what did I say?
That's
you
right,
said
Julia. But
oh.
I like that. It's sort of classy.
And shout out to some people in the QRC as well. And the Women's Resource Center, come see the play whenever you feel like it or when you get the chance, so you can see what it'll be like whenever you come to Vegas for real, like I'm doing.
Excellent, excellent. Thank you both so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having us.
People of Earth, this is your opportunity to go check out Good, Better, Best, Bested, directed by Patricia Miller. You can see Ade in the play. You'll see a whole bunch of wonderful people working their hardest to make you happy. Speaking of making you happy, you know what makes me happy? Dr. Bizarre's original Savannah Band. I'm going to play another track for you. I'm going to leave you with this. Until next week, my friends.
Oh, wait.
Yes? Go ahead.
I have one more thing.
Sure.
I'm sure everybody, and I'm sure some people that are my favorite celebrities would enjoy traveling around the world, including going to Vegas.
Words to live by.
Yes.
So until next week, my friends, ta-ta and toodly-doo.